I don't know about you, but I look forward to worship experience here on Sabbath mornings. I know I could not survive from week to week if I didn't have this time to just sing and pray and study God's Word together. So thank you, worship team, for leading us and bringing us before God, His holy presence. You know, I know so many things we take for granted that often when we come to church, we're in a different frame of mind. We're still wound up from our day work week. We have concerns, issues, problems, things that are going on in our lives that sometimes are so pressing on us. I don't know about you, but for me, coming here, and it takes me maybe a couple songs or so to relax my soul and to think about the words and to blend my voice with the voices of the family of God. So thank you for being part of that family this morning. It's pretty hard to be in such a beautiful worship environment and experience and the constant and be worried about all the things in life, because let's just face it, the world is always going to have problems and issues and things that weigh us down and distract our attention. But being here, we encourage one another. It's our collective faith and our voices of praise to God that brings calm and peace. I'm just sharing with you my experience. I hope yours is similar. Well, we're getting to the end of the book of Acts, and I don't know about you, but for me, it's been a wonderful journey, because indeed it is the story, it's the account of the earliest years of the church. And for me, it's been, I've read the book many, many times and studied it in classes, and yet even with all that background, I find new dynamics, new things to study and to quench the thirst of my soul. And for me, of course, the book of Acts is sitting at the feet of an experienced senior pastor and just listening to his story, his life story. I've been fortunate in my short life to have sat at the feet of many different men and women of God and to hear their stories. When I hear stories of men and women who have suffered for the gospel, those who have lived very difficult lives, and yet their faith gave them the courage and the strength and the passion to continue in the face of hardship, in the face of danger. And yes, even some that I've known over the years have given their lives to share the good news of redemption and salvation through Jesus Christ. And Paul is no different. Paul, of course, was a man that if you read the book of Acts, you sort of get a picture of a guy that a good portion of the time he's alone. he's traveling here and there, and he has a companion that comes along with him and helps him out. But basically, he is going into areas and parts of the Roman Empire that basically were untouched by Christianity. He was a true pioneer, willing to go where no other man had ever gone, willing to step on to territory where no other Christian had ever stepped. And so as we've read through the book of Acts, as we've studied through the book of Acts, we find that there are certain dynamics that are almost predictable. One of the predictable dynamics is that wherever Paul went, he always went first to his own kinsmen, the Jews. He went first to the synagogue to talk to the leaders of the synagogue. And of course, as we've read through, we know that every time he did that, ultimately, he got into trouble. And in the end, it was predictable. He would be kicked out of the town. They would seek to kill him. And interestingly enough, the Romans would have to step in. The heathens, the Gentiles, would have to step in and rescue Paul and move him on. So here we have, it's no different. The last part, the last chapter of Acts, we have Paul arriving in Rome. And what's interesting to me is that when Paul is nearing Rome and the word gets out that he's on his way and he arrives there, there are Christians already there. So in this case, you know, Paul couldn't say, well, I was the first one, or I was the one that brought the gospel. The gospel had already made its way to that far distant land of Rome and Italy. So Paul was pleased, it says in this passage. He was pleased to greet these people. I don't know if he knew them from before. It's possible that he had, but they knew of him, and he was happy to see fellow Christians because he knew then that he wasn't alone in sharing the gospel. It's always good to know when you feel like you're kind of alone and you're doing this on your own and you're struggling along, and just find out that someone else is also there doing the same thing. That's always encouraging, isn't it? In any situation. And I think it's encouraging, and we need to make sure that we share with each other experiences that we are going through, that we are sharing, let's say, the gospel with a neighbor or a friend or a coworker. Share those stories with each other, because it's good to know that others have that same passion for sharing the gospel. The book of Acts begins with this incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit on God's on the disciples and the followers of Christ. And that very beginning chapter, the first couple chapters of Acts, is always a very wonderful story to read and reread. Because it's not just those who lived in that time period that the Holy Spirit wishes to pour out itself on, but it's for us too. Those who live in the now, those who live in the end of time. The thing that was interesting to me is that when I got to the book, at the end of the book, and I was reading the last two chapters, I wanted more. I thought, wait a minute, it's not done. The book isn't finished. Somebody forgot to write the last few chapters. Now, believe me, go and read it for yourself. Because you would expect Paul went to Rome for a purpose, and the purpose was to come before the Caesar and to be judged, whether he was innocent or guilty of the charges that were brought before him. And the book doesn't even end with the court case. I mean, it's like a hanger. It's a cliffhanger, as they say, you know. Have you ever watched a movie or read a book and then it just kind of left you hanging there? It's like, well, okay, now, is there a sequel to this? I mean, what, part two, part three, part four? I need to buy it when it comes out. I need to see the end of this. It's hanging there. And that, it really struck me, because I thought, well, wouldn't it be nice if we were privileged to read the words that Paul used in defending himself, which is why he went to Rome. But no, it's not there. In fact, it ends quite abruptly, as you heard Lexi read here. Let's take a look at the last chapter of the book of Acts. It of course goes through the shipwreck. Of course, we talked about that 2 weeks ago, and the shipwreck, and then they are cared for by the people there, and treated very kindly, very gracious. The story of the Apostle Paul and a snake bite, and how people thought, well, okay, you know, he's suffered a shipwreck and now he's been bitten by a poisonous snake, so he must be cursed, and how that got turned around. And people saw him live through that experience. And then not only that, they realized this was a man of God. And they began to bring their sick to him. And he was healing those people who were sick. And when he arrives at Rome, of course, we already talked about how there were people there to greet him. People that are happy to see him, he was greeted. And then it's interesting, because it says here towards the end that Paul was left with a guard. He was under house arrest, I guess you would say. He could come and go, and people would come and visit him, and he had a guard there 24/7 for 2 years. Isn't that interesting? God was not done yet. God wanted everyone that desired to hear the gospel. He wanted them to hear that. And the scriptures tell us that people came and went and listened to Paul. He was able to stand before the religious leaders in Rome and to give his gospel presentation. Some of them, it says, accepted, and others rejected it. But the fact is that God was protecting that precious truths, the gospel. He was protecting it to make sure that all who needed to hear would hear it. And so for 2 years, Paul is given freedom to share the good news of the gospel. And then, of course, the last part of that chapter, it says, therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles and they will listen. That's a theme we hear throughout the book of Acts, is that Paul says first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. He always made sure that his countrymen heard the good news and they had a chance or an opportunity to turn to Jesus, the Messiah, the promised Messiah. And he used the Old Testament, of course, to share that gospel. And then, of course, he would turn to the Gentiles and call them to repentance. And it says, verse 30, it says, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance. And I love that, boldly. Remember last time we talked about that the personality of Paul shows through under great turmoil and stress. There at the shipwreck, his compassion, his caring, his love for the fellow people on board the ship, his willingness to stand up and to stand before God and ask for protection, and then God promised him that none would be lost, and how he shared that with the people, and they began to have confidence and faith and trust in Paul. And then, of course, the shipwreck, which they lost the boat, but not one person was hurt or lost. And what you hear over and over again is the theme of sharing the gospel, sharing the good news. Everywhere he went, even during a shipwreck circumstances, he still shares the gospel. And so here he is. He has 2 years without any trouble, any problems. He is able to share the good news. And it says, boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached the kingdom of God, the kingdom that was to come, the kingdom that is here now through the power of the Holy Spirit, and about his Lord Jesus Christ. The themes that we find in the writings of Paul throughout the New Testament, those themes come up over and over and over again. I like to just review briefly, quickly, the idea that I tried to share with you 2 weeks ago. And underline it just a little bit. Here was Paul in this ship with these sailors and soldiers and prisoners and people traveling. And through his own testimony, through his witness, through the demeanor in his character and how he reacted to that stressful, fearful experience of being shipwrecked, people began to see in him something that they wanted to have. They wanted to understand what it was that made Paul such an incredible person, a person who was fearless in times of danger, someone who had a depth in character and in personality and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so people, through his example, came to Jesus. They sensed that he was a man of God. They sensed that he was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, he was a man who had compassion who had love for even those who seemingly were unlovable. And so as we reflect again and we look back on the book of Acts, and as we move forward into the book of Romans, which is going to be interesting because the book of Romans has been responsible for incredible revivals in the Christian church over thousands of years. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in the future. But I made just a couple of notes as I was reflecting on and sort of rereading the book of Acts and coming to the conclusion or the end of the book of Acts. One of the things that I know in this book is that Acts is the book that reveals the power of the church, the power of the church under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You see, we talk about the Holy Spirit, we intellectualize the Holy Spirit, we categorize the Holy Spirit, we try to dissect it, we try to understand it, but how often do we simply accept it and then allow it to work through us, allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us? And so the book of Acts, as we read it and as we have read it and studied it, is a book that reveals the power of a church under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The second dynamic that I noted as I read through it again this last week is that it also reveals the dynamics of a individual or this personal, the life of a person who is changed by the gospel. And Paul is, of course, a perfect example of someone who was sort of a self-made man, climbing the ladder, the corporate ladder, as you might say, and was pretty much at the top of his game when God struck him down and revealed himself to Paul, or Saul, who became Paul. And so we have here a classic example that we can look at and we can read about in the book of Acts and say, now that's what happens to someone when they change their lives through the power of the Holy Spirit and they allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through them. So we have dynamic number one, which is a church that's filled with the Holy Spirit. Then we have the individual that's filled with the Holy Spirit. The whole idea of not I but Christ is that theme just seems to flow through the writings of Paul. It's not, there's a tremendous humility there. It's not me. This power that you sense in my life, this power that you see at work is not me, it's Christ. You see? Can't take any credit to ourselves, can we? It's Christ working through the Holy Spirit in us. And so, Paul, the theme that Paul seems to continue to bring forward is that it's not me, but it's Christ. The third dynamic that I noted as I was studying again is this. And this really just kind of came on me this last night as I was looking over some of my notes and I was thinking, what would happen if the book of Acts had never been discovered or had never been placed in the canon? What would happen? And I got to thinking about that and I realized that without the book of Acts, we would have an incredible gap, not only in the history of Christianity, but a gap in the progress or the progression and the movement of God's disciples and his followers, of Jesus' disciples rather, and his followers from the time that Jesus ascended into heaven through to the time of Paul's writings of Romans and Galatians and Ephesians. The book of Acts shows us very clearly the transition, the movement of God's people, and what was happening, the dynamics of that movement. And so I'm very thankful for the book of Acts, because what we would have, if we didn't have that, we would have the Gospels. We would have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the life of Jesus, and the death of Jesus, and the ascension of Jesus, And then we would jump over, and here would be this guy named Paul. By the way, Paul's not mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's not, his name is not there. And we would go, well, okay, well, who is this Paul? Where did he come from? Why does he have so much to say? He does, by the way, if you've noticed that the New Testament is, the vast majority of the New Testament is written by Paul. Okay? And so, suddenly we would have Paul writing the book of Romans, and the book of Romans is a heavy book. Okay? If you want to study something for a long time, and still come out scratching your head, study the book of Romans. Okay? It's to me, it's the height of Paul's intellectual side. Okay? The guy's an incredible theologian, incredible writer. Thank God for Paul. You see? If we didn't have Paul and his writing ability, what would we have? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. A little bit of Jude. We'd have Revelation and a couple of other little books. That's all we would have. But Paul, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, God used his gifts and his talents, and he was able to write. He was able to put the gospel on page, on paper, so that thousands of years later, you and I can sit down and we can read the book of Acts, the book of Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, and we can see the progression, the growth of the body of Christ up to this day. And so, I'm thankful for the writing of the book of Acts. And of course, you know, the Gospels, they of course end with death and resurrection and the ascension of Jesus, which many of the Jewish people from that time said, well, he's just a cult leader. You know, these people that follow him are just they're a little sect, they're a little cult that followed this charismatic man Jesus, and that might have been the end of it, because beyond that, you know, they stayed in Jerusalem, many of them. They were forced out, of course, later on by the Romans attacking Jerusalem, but they would have stayed there, and the gospel would have probably gone not even into the next country. They would have stayed right there surrounding Jerusalem in the hills of Judea. But the gospel went beyond that, thanks to a man by the name of Paul. And we need to thank God for him, because many of us are descendants of people that Paul took the gospel to. Okay? If you're of Anglo descent, and Latino, the Spanish, many of the people who were students at the feet of Paul, many who studied the gospel under Paul, spread out into those areas, into Europe. And so, you know, I'm just overwhelmed when I think about the incredible impact that Paul had on spreading the gospel to the world. This man had a passion. He had a calling from God to take the gospel around the world. And he did. He took it to the end, well, almost to the end of the Roman Empire at that time. We know that the Roman Empire went over, of course, into parts of, you know, England and Ireland and those areas. But at that time, Italy was probably, you know, Italy, France, and Spain was about as far as it had gone. And Paul was, of course, responsible for much of that. The other thing that I noted in reading this last part of the book is that you will discover, as I said before, that his name was never mentioned, you know, in the Gospels, and that the books that he wrote in a manner that was very personal. He personally wrote. He wrote letters to these churches and to individuals, and those letters are so well written that they inspire us today. Thousands of years later, they have an incredible strength and power to convict our lives, to change our lives. And I attribute that to Paul's connection with God and the Holy Spirit's working in his life. It's interesting, too, that Acts is a record And I think this is probably, for me, the most powerful dynamic, and that is that Acts is a record of what can happen. It's a record of what can happen if God's people take personally and seriously the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? I wish that somehow we could all just travel back, 2,000 years and sit in a worship, a church or a home or whatever, and just sit there and listen and take note of how the people in the early years of Christianity, how they worshiped God. They didn't have all the fancy trappings that we have today, and it was probably fairly simple, and yet it was powerful. It was powerful. Lives were changed. People turned and followed Christ because of the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. The final point that I noted here as I was reading is that Paul really had no concept of hierarchical systems or offices. For him, the community of believers, the church of Christ, is dependent only on Christ, the risen Lord, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I kept going back and checking over and over. Just show me one thing that would help me to understand the structure of the early church. And granted, there were people that were appointed as deacons, and there were people that were appointed to do certain positions. But as far as a pecking order or a leadership, the leadership was the word of the risen Lord and the Holy Spirit. Now, today we are a much, much larger movement. The Christian movement worldwide is massive. And it's taken many different organizations to help proclaim the gospel around the world. I believe that the Seventh-day Adventists, we are 19 million strong worldwide. And it takes organization. But in the early church, it was just a movement of believers going out from Jerusalem into the world around them and starting little home churches, meeting in the marketplace and studying, standing before judges and giving their testimony. That's how the gospel went out. Maybe we need to go back to that, huh? But we are now at the time in this world's history, in the final proclamation of God's message to the world, the message of salvation and God's grace. We have every day an opportunity. Ask God to give you an opportunity to share the good news. Not a sermon, if you want to, but not a sermon. It's not asking to give, a series of Bible studies, but just to share from your heart the joy that you experience. The change that's taken place in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ. Just share that. That's all it takes. You don't have to be a theology major or a Bible student. Just a follower of Christ sharing their testimony is what the world needs. That's what the world needs. And the Spirit, that's the force behind it. I don't know how you feel about your conversion experience. I know how I feel about mine. I don't know how you feel about the various turning points in your life. Do you have a story to tell? Do you have a testimony to give? I bet you do. You need to think about it. You really do. Because God can use that. God used Paul. Paul's conversion experience was relived over and over as he shared the good news of how he found Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And how Jesus saved him from the legalism of Judaism, saved him from the pride and the prejudice, and taught him how to love people. As I read the last few chapters of Acts, I realize how much Paul loved people. You can't help somebody if you don't love them, right? And there's so much prejudice in our world today. We try hard in America not to have it. But let's face it, we do. And we're not just talking about just racial prejudices. There are so many different prejudices. We need to break down those walls. And the gospel can do that. And your testimony is a powerful tool that can be used in the hand of God under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You can give your testimony. It only needs to be a couple seconds. That may be all you have. But believe me, God wants to use each of us to share the good news of salvation. To share the good news of the Son of God who came to this earth as a little babe and how He walked the earth and brought healing and brought hope to a dying world. And how He died on the cross. He died on the cross so that we might have hope and we might have eternal life. And then He rose again, conquering death, conquering the evil in this world. And how He's in heaven and He's waiting. He's waiting for His Father to say, now's the time, let's go. Let's go get Him. Let's go down and get all our children. Let's bring them back to heaven. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to the day when I can go to heaven with all my brothers and sisters and all those who love God and sit around and talk to some of the great people of the Bible. And after talking to Jesus for a few thousand years, I'm going to go to Paul. You know, we'll have a lot of time. There'll be a lot of time up there. You know that. Eternity, can't measure it, can you? You know, we think a year is, well, when you're a teenager, you just think a year is a long time. We will have eternity with Christ. But I'm going to spend time with Paul, and I'm going to say, Paul, why didn't you finish the book of Acts? And I think probably what he will say is, because the book of Acts wasn't done, it was ongoing. The book of Acts is now, folks. What you read in the book of Acts, you are living the final chapters of the book of Acts. It's going to be completed, don't worry. And of course, my question, I asked myself this question last night when I was thinking about this. And that question is, the book of Acts is still being written. It's the acts of God, the acts of the Holy Spirit working on the lives of people, of churches, of nations. It's the acts of God, the Holy Spirit working in a world that's lost. And we are writing the last chapters of the book of Acts. And I expect when we get to heaven that there'll be a book there. It'll be the book of Acts, but it's going to be a lot thicker than this one. It'll be a lot more than 28 chapters because we have 2,000 years of God acting through His people, through the Holy Spirit. I'm looking forward to that day. And I want Paul to tell me more stories. He didn't give us a lot of details about the little things in his life. I want to hear more. But you know what? He's going to ask me, I want to hear your story. What story do you have? How did the Holy Spirit work through you? What power did you feel in your life as you went through life sharing the good news of the gospel? Well, I'm thankful that there are things that have happened in my life that I will be able to share. And I know that each of you have experiences. You each have a testimony. Don't hide it. Like the song says, don't hide it under a bushel. You know, bring it out. Put that light right out for everyone to see. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, because it's life eternal.